So let's talk first just briefly about one of the biggest headlines of the session, because people always ask about this. And one of the biggest headlines was something that did not pass. There was Senate Bill 621, which would have renewed and extended the plumbing licensure board, and that failed to pass. And I always joke that I worked for a plumber for a few days one summer while I was in college to help do some work at my church. And the old plumber said, "Son, there's only two things you need to know about plumbing, and that is payday is on Friday and water doesn't run uphill." And I suspect, though, he was pulling my leg, because it actually can be a lot more complicated than that. So that was a problematic issue that the licensure board was sunsetted. But Governor Abbott did, as most of you know, enact an executive order on June 13th of last year to extend the plumbing board through 2021. So I think it's almost a certainty the legislature will revisit this in 2021 in the next session and take care of it. But just in case that the rumor got widely started that there was no licensure for plumbers, and that was, could have been true, but based on the executive order, that was addressed. Okay, let's just move quickly to a few bills. I'll reference, I don't have a slideshow, but I will reference page numbers in the report if you'd like to follow along. So the first bill I would like to talk about is House Bill 2782, which is on page 5 of the report. And it relates to decedents' estates and transfer on death deeds. And you may remember that in the 84th session, the legislature enacted a law that would allow people to execute and record a deed that only becomes operative upon the death of the grantor. And one of the issues that was identified is that it provided that a transfer on death deed, or a TOD, as we like to refer to it, is void as to the subsequent filing of a valid instrument conveying the interest. You know, in other words, another deed or another interest, and even like a mineral lease, would have been void as to those things. So the clarification was made that a memorandum is sufficient to give notice, that and they amended the mysterious phrase termination, or a memorandum sufficient to give notice of the conveyance of interest, which will allow for, this was a concession to the oil and gas people to allow them to record memorandums of leases as opposed to the entire lease, which would clarify that the TOD was void as to that interest if merely a memorandum was recorded. So, unless you're dealing with a lot of probate or transfer on death deeds, probably not a lot to seek here, but I do know some attorneys that are using those in their practice. So if you do do transfer on death deeds, you may want to pay attention to that. The next law that I want to look at was also on page 5, and it was Senate Bill 874, and again related to transfer on death deeds, and it just requires the Supreme Court to promulgate a form to facilitate individuals creating transfer on death deeds pro se. So just be aware of that, and you may see that from time to time now, people trying to do their own transfer on death deeds, and we'll see what the impact of that is over time. All right, let's move to page 19 of the report. And this is one of the more significant, maybe the most significant bill enacted by the legislature, certainly one of them. And that was House Bill 3167 relating to the county and municipal approval procedure for land development applications. This was known popularly as the Development Shot Clock Bill. And this amends various sections of the local government code. And under the old law, the regulatory authority, be it the city, municipality, perhaps the county in some cases, had 30 days to, quote, act on, unquote, applications for approval of plans and plats. And that phrase act on was very ambiguous, and it could create room to delay the process. And there was frustration among developers in particular that there wasn't a set time frame for plats and applications for plans and specs to be approved. Under the new law, it sets a 30-day period for the initial approval of plans and plats, and then a 15-day period to respond. And the response to they must either approve within that period, approve with conditions, or disapprove within that 30-day period, and then there's a 15-day period to respond. It also creates a deemed approval process where if the plan is deemed approved, unless it is disapproved, within the appropriate time frame. And it also requires written statements regarding the conditions or reasons for disapproval, which must include citations and may not be arbitrary. And I think most of you understand this was just a response, all these changes, to some frustration that some developers have expressed that certain municipalities were being overreaching in the approval process for plans and plats by requiring too much. For instance, requiring dedications of land, requiring infrastructure, just imposing development requirements as a condition of approval that in some cases had become a little too much. It was overreaching. So this was all a response to that. And one other thing that I think is interesting is that poses now a very high burden of proof on the municipality if they want to disapprove an application. The disapproval now has to be by clear and convincing evidence. So it shifts a lot more burden now over to the municipality to disapprove plans and plats. So all this was very well intentioned,